From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Appreciate you all joining us on the Bishop's Hour. On this beautiful day the Lord has made. Indeed, it is the day the Lord has made. And the Lord has brought Julie Sly to us. So we will be joyful and celebrate. Julie, good to see you as
How
always.
Are you?
In person.
Yep.
Yes, and
I don't. That's kind of a grand introduction, but thanks.
I have what was it? That TV show Have Gun Will Travel. I can't remember. It was some Western or something.
Oh, okay.
Well, you have magazine Will Travel.
Yes,
and you brought a magazine with you.
And no guns are in this.
No
magazine.
Guns are in this issue. Yes, and the beautiful cover about the Eucharistic Congress.
Yeah. Steve German, who does most of our photography. He hot that.
He does such a good job.
Yeah, he is. And that was sort of a wild day. Actually, I was his driver that day. This is our cover story talking about the March 9th Eucharistic Congress for the diocese during this three-year Eucharistic revival in the church in the U.S. and really worldwide. March 9th, there were three simultaneous gatherings going on, one at Immaculate Conception in Sacramento on Broadway, one at St. Francis in Sacramento in Midtown, and one at Our Lady at Guadalupe in Sacramento in Southside.
All pretty
area.
Close together.
Yes, yeah. And so they all processed after their speakers. And
there was a different focus of who at one.
Right,
and the
I
other.
Believe yeah. the one in Immaculate Conception was sort of a youth focus. And I also got the privilege of hearing... I think it's been a little bit now, so let me refresh my memory. Father Kenneth Hamilton, he's a Divine Word missionary who does stuff in the Bay Area ministry and speaking, and I believe he teaches. He was the homilist at the Mass with Bishop Soto at Immaculate Conception on that Saturday Vigil Mass, and he gave a great homily. And then... So the processions were going simultaneously to the cathedral, all arriving between 6 and 7 p.m.
This was on a Saturday.
On a Saturday, So I had Steve, and we attended the events in Immaculate Conception. He had part of the procession there with the Eucharist and everyone walking up Broadway, and then he hopped in my car, or cell phones. Then we hopped in my car, and I said, let's try and hitch part in the procession from Guadalupe or St. Francis, because they were all converging on L Street somewhere. I knew that they were all coming up now at the end to the cathedral, the L going west, then turn north
and then
11
go north.
To the cathedral.
Yep.
So we got to 15th and L, and I could see they were blocking off anyone from going further up L. And we could see the procession from Guadalupe coming, with the monstrance and everything. So I said, I'll just hop out here and I'll find you later. So that's what he did. He got that good photo that's on the cover eventually of the route from Guadalupe when they were coming up 11th Street.
That's really great.
Yeah. And then he went in the cathedral and... He also caught some of the other procession coming from St. Francis.
Very good.
And then eventually we both ended up at the cathedral, and then I was his chauffeur after that. But later on we reflected that we didn't know how that would have worked if he had had to park his car.
Right.
It wouldn't have worked. He would have had to find a place for his car, catch up to the procession.
Forget about trying to park.
Yeah.
I marched with... one of my daughters, my college-age daughters, from Our Lady Guadalupe to the Capitol. It seems like a few months ago. It must have been in fall, when those farm workers were here about the labor vote issue.
Yeah.
And maybe it was last spring. I can't remember how long ago it was. Seems like it was within the last year. And it was such a gathering at Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then there was kind of a rally in the park right across the street from Our Lady of Guadalupe. And then we all marched all the way to the Capitol, and which is almost marching to the cathedral.
Yes.
Very close.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And then Steve got this nice photo on page 20, which is just a family that was in the balcony at Our Lady of Guadalupe praying the rosary.
Very nice.
It's a family, Karen Martinez, Adrian Villanueva, and their daughter Marion. They're from Holy Rosary Parish in Woodland.
Oh, good.
And they were just praying the rosary up in the balcony while the speakers were doing their thing at Our Lady of Guadalupe. Actually, we went to Our Lady of Guadalupe before Immaculate Conception, and we were lucky that we did, as Steve got some nice photos there. I think we were there at 3 o'clock or so. And then at 4 o'clock, they kind of broke into time for people to kind of eat early dinner and socialize all of that. And they had food booths and everything before the vigil mass. So I said to Steve, good thing we came now and not at 4 o'clock, as everyone would just be partying and eating.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, and actually someone just asked me if they could reprint that photo in our Faith Catholic Publishing does usually 2 or 3 times a year. Very nice magazine. It's their own magazine called Content Evangelists, where they send it out to bishops and other religious organizations and other publishers and things, and it features the best of their work from their magazines. And also usually kind of an interview on an important topic. Last year they did a survey of Catholic media in people's use of Catholic media in conjunction with HERA at Georgetown University. Okay. And that I remember was the cover story of one of their magazines. So anyway, they've asked if they could reprint that photo from Steve, as they like to showcase what they see as the best of photography and content in their the magazines. So that's great. So we have a lot of selection of photos here. I should say some of the photos are by Pat. I can't pronounce her last name. I'll try. Park Putthorn. And she is a parishioner at St. John Vianney in Rancho Cordova. And she's kind of just taken up doing photography at different events. And so she submitted her photos to me. And so among some of the photos, on pages 22 and 23, some of those are her photos because she was at St. Francis Parish that day, and we were not, which was great. And she was also at the Fired Up Confirmation Conferences at Christian Brothers High School that took place on that same day.
Oh, very good.
March 9th. So actually, on page 23, she is the one who shot that beautiful photo in the middle of Father Ray Bercival,
yes,
bishop-elect.
Bishop
of course,
elect.
We didn't know he was going to be bishop-elect on March 9th.
He looks like a bishop-elect there.
And that was a great interview that you had with him. I listened to it the other day.
Oh, thank you.
As I was gone, waiting 6 years for auxiliary bishop, and then I was gone on a cycling trip to the Netherlands.
Oh, wow.
For 2 weeks. I think I left April 18th, and that was announced April 20th.
Yeah.
And I've known Bishop-elect Ray for 25 years since he was at St. Anthony.
Right. He was in my pastor at St. James.
That's right. And just to tell a little tale, he is quite a basketball player. I don't know now with the knees. And
we
everything.
Talked about basketball extensively.
Yeah, with the Philippine.
He's going to be the bishop of basketball.
Oh, and yeah. True.
Yeah, that's it's one of his prime duties.
Luckily, we do not have it on film or videotape, but when I played one-on-one with him one time in the gym at St. Anthony in the Memorial Center, he dribbled the ball through my legs.
Through your legs, not his
side. Because he is a little on the shorter side, and I'm on the taller side. He dribbled it, or he Yeah. Dribbled it through my legs, caught it on the other side, and went in for a layup. And I said, wait. Well, and then he was like, if you can block shots, I can dribble it between your legs.
Well, it, you know, it's funny because I went in that interview, he said, growing up in the Philippines, he said, there were basketball courts, outdoor basketball courts everywhere.
I remember so many young priests, when they came to our diocese, they'd be wearing their Nike high tops or their Chuck Taylor All-Stars. I'm like, what's with the basketball shoes? Yeah. They're like, oh, we
well, play I don't, constantly. And I don't think we could have the priest seminary and basketball game but for the number of Filipino priests we have.
Oh, yeah.
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 And,
I think he even said in that interview, don't they? They need to share
it. They share it now. It used to be priests versus seminarians. Right. The last couple of years, they've combined it and just split it up. Maybe north south from the diocese. Just I don't even know if there's a formal division, but or maybe they it's like
do they have like a public pick of teams?
Well, that's what
like
I'm wondering.
If you're
where
picked last, then it's kind of sad.
Pick you know well
like the NFL draft.
Oh yeah, they should. You know what they should do? Where it's not they put all the names in the hat and you just pick. You pick, and then nobody gets
there. It's too embarrassing if you're standing in line, and
remember that.
I was a pretty good athlete, so I don't know that I ever got picked last, but you always feel sorry for whoever gets picked last.
That Janice Ian song, if you were picked, the last one picked at basketball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that was the line from that song that always resonated with me.
You're, out of a hat is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, that game, which is coming up, on the, let's see, I believe
June
it's the
15th,
8th. I think it's maybe more like the 18th.
Of,
I think
is that the day of the dinner?
I think the dinner's the 15th. And
you're correct. The
basketball's
18th.
The 18th, yeah.
The 18th.
That's a Tuesday.
At 7 p.m. at 6:30. Tip off at 7 at Christian Brothers.
And the snack bar will be open.
Right.
And get there early because, well, get there early, get there late. If I tell everybody to get there early, it'll be fill up early too, you know. But it's always packed.
Yes.
I will be. I'm going to be on the microphone. I get to do the PA.
Oh,
which is.
Have you done that before?
Yes, yeah, I do it every.
Yeah,
I do it every year.
So.
Yeah,
okay.
And
yeah.
But it's the only event I MC things and sometimes do after dinner speeches and or talks. You know,
sure.
But it's the only time I've ever done public address announcer.
Oh, you know, okay.
And it's really different.
Yeah.
You know, because you kind of I do. Color commentary on TV of sports, but even that's different than this you kind of being the live announcer.
Right.
Because you're not calling the action, but
you're
saying foul on Father so-and-so, you know.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And you're trying to
make it. They don't have his ham there. Anymore.
No. And you're trying to make it fun and you're trying to make it entertaining.
Yeah.
And in fact, I call the officials over before. They have real officials who
come. Well, I knew,
And I call them over for the game, and I say, you know, this is fun, but you're supposed to call real fouls and everything.
Yeah.
But when you call a foul on somebody, really be demonstrative. Some officials are really demonstrative anyway.
Yeah.
Other ones are just kind of traveling.
Yeah.
No, really, really make it look like you committed a crime.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's
Do you do jokes?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you kind of.
But not making fun of someone's shorts or jersey.
Well,
anything.
Usually, yeah.
Oh, really?
We do.
Like
we make fun of everybody.
Their shorts are too tight. You say something.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay, but we diverge.
It's a fun night. It's a very fun night.
So yeah, Bishop Ray and Matt. Well, I saw him a week ago today. Actually, when he came in and he said. As I realized, well, I was on the sailboat, and so no Wi-Fi or anything.
Right.
I was unplugged for a week. And then when I stayed a few days in Amsterdam, when I got in the hotel, I looked at the website on the Wi-Fi. I didn't even turn on international service. That's another story. But you need to have those little Google maps telling you everything. But I saw what had happened. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I missed all that. And anyway, so then when I got home on Saturday, the 4th, I texted him and said, I'm so sorry. I missed the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, congratulations. And then I saw him the 2 days later, and he said, I wonder what happened. I didn't get a text. I didn't get a congrats. notes.
Yeah, right.
I didn't, you know, call. I got nothing from you. And I thought maybe you had known before me. I'm like, how would I know before you?
Yeah.
That was a joke.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we look forward to in the next issue of Hatlet Herald Magazine, the July-August, we will have coverage of his Vespers and ordination on the 31st.
Right.
In fact, we'll have a special section. We might be even 52 or 56 pages next time because the front section will be about him and his ordination.
Mm-hmm.
And then we already have a whole July-August magazine planned, and that will follow that section of with 32 pages.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on that now. But so, and then we also will, I know Deacon Heaven was on with you earlier, we'll also have photos and coverage from the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage traveling through our diocese on a boat.
Yeah. Are you going to ride your bicycle along with a camera and a notebook?
I think actually it's going to be me driving Steve again.
Yeah.
Because Deacon Heaven just told me if he wants to be at the Freeport Marina at 6:30 a.m. on the day that it goes up to West Sacramento.
Oh, yeah, because it will spend the night in Clark, Freeport.
Freeport, Clarksburg. They're so close.
Yeah, at the Clarksburg, at St. Joseph's in Clarksburg. Yeah.
Yeah.
The beautiful.
I don't know if I'll actually dock there. I didn't ask them that.
I believe so.
Oh, okay.
I believe so. And then it's going to dock over by the Ziggurat building in West Sacramento.
In West Sac, I knew that. And then, I know we have some parishes already that I saw something from Shepherd Parish, Elk Grove, that they're going to have their parish T-shirts walk along with it. So I don't know how many people or parishes are planning to do that, but I'll probably be driving Steve that day
if he doesn't want to go on the boat. There's Vallejo, then there's St. Dominic's in Benicia, then there's St. Joseph in Rio Vista, then St. Joseph in Clarksburg. And then I believe the next stop, not the next stop, but the next church is the cathedral.
Yes, that's
then,
for adoration on May 22nd.
And then to St. John the Baptist in Folsom.
Right.
And then
the prison.
The prison, Folsom Prison.
And then the
St. Patrick's
event that night.
Yes.
At 7 p.m. with Bishop Ray.
Right. And then
Bishop-elect Ray, I guess.
St. Patrick's in Eldorado. I'm not sure is Eldorado Hills prior to Placerville?
Eldorado Hills is the evening of May 23rd at 7 p.m.
And then next would
then
be Placerville?
The next morning would be Placerville.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then all the way up to
The way up to Tahoe and across the incline.
Was it St. Teresa's in Tahoe?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
At 5 p.m. on May 24th.
Okay.
So I have a different photographer, Bridget Chestnut, who's based down in Solano County. She'll be taking the pictures
up in
for
Tahoe.
Us. Yeah. And some of these won't be featured on social media. And the website before, right after they happen. The magazine, you know, we won't have it until July. But people can follow what's going on social media
and
different things. Yeah. So anyway, so that's our, I'm reading from page 38 and 39 in our May-June magazine, which on page 39 has the whole schedule of what's going on. So if you're a parishioner, you just have, you know, time, you want to participate in any of these events, all the schedule is there on page 39. And also on the website at scd.org/celebrate. And everything's on there. And I think everything's pretty open. You know, there's nothing that I don't believe there's any event that needs a ticket or anything.
No, not that I'm aware of.
They're all public events, the adoration and...
I'm certain
there are a couple private events, and those are noted here. There is, and it be Eucharistic adoration at Loaves and Fishes. That's, and it be in the morning. That's a private event on May 22nd, before that procession across from West Sac and the Tower Bridge. So that's a private event. And obviously, the Mass inside Folsom Prison on May 23rd. That's a private event. But then there will be a procession from the Folsom prison parking lot to St. John the Baptist in Folsom. I don't know how far that is. Maybe like a half mile or a third of a mile. I'm trying to kind of Google map it, but it's probably about a half mile. Yeah,
I think that that
your walking shoes on and
I think that's great that they're including Folsom prison in this. Yeah. We're all equals in the eyes of God.
Yeah, and we have a very active presence.
We have a very active presence.
Soto's in, like every holiday, pretty much, as you celebrate at Mass. There numerous
and really
times.
Throughout the diocese, up in Susanville and the various other
we
places
have chaplains
where,
and, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, I think it's going to be kind of a very photogenic and fun event and spiritual.
I think it's going to be a combination of everything.
Yeah. I'm sure Kevin, in his remarks with you conversation, encouraged people to pop in at any point. Even if you want to do it on your lunch hour, you can process from West Sac over the Tower Bridge
to
Cathedral, or you can even break off before, process over, and then walk back across the bridge.
Yeah, I want to do that one. I like all those places. I like Benicia and I like Vallejo and I love Rio Vista and Clarksburg. That parish. Anytime I bring anybody out, I don't bring them out, but relatives, visiting friends.
Sure.
So you got to see this church in Clarksburg.
Yes.
You got to see this church. Go down the river road.
The stations at the cross and the walking path.
It's beautiful.
And of course they've had their mobile mall ministry forever. Right. Going way back when Father Madigan was pastor, he even had animals there.
Yeah.
Which was wild. I don't think the animals.
Yeah.
but the parishioners of that parish, the way that they keep up the rounds and everything.
They also have a real active, I think, food closet ministry.
Oh, they do.
Too.
Yeah. And the mobile mall, which it's been several years since I did a story on that, but they would taking in clothes and furniture and different things. They would partner a lot with Sac City Unified Schools in South Sacramento to help out a lot of families that were in need. Even with such things like Christmas decorations or a little tree or anything like that, anything to help out those families with their kids. So it's a great parish. Yeah.
Oh, it really
and
is.
We've had a lot of, we have, there are other dioceses across the country that are on rivers. But we're kind of special with the emergence of the American and the Sacramento here.
Well, you talk about fruit of the vine. That parish is right. There's a vineyard right behind it.
Right.
It's just, we are rivers. You hear River City, you hear that term here, the River Cats, And we do have the American River flowing in, but and the Sacramento is that we were talking with Kevin about it. It's a north-south river, so it originates in the diocese of Sacramento in the city of Mount Shasta.
I've been there at Mount Shasta City Park. You bring your little container and
get a
little.
Boy, do people
and
do.
People do it. People hang out there. I've never been there where people weren't hanging out there with their jugs.
They're all driving VW buses.
Yeah.
You think you're back in the 60s.
And
they got big jugs of, they're getting this water. Boy, it's cold and clear and delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're lucky at the people in who live more down by the Bay Area. There are some, I don't have it in front of me, but there are some events prior to ours for the weekend before.
Right.
In San Francisco and Marin.
Right.
So I believe if you went on the Archdiocese of San Francisco website, you can check those out. I have looked at them, but I can't remember off the top of my head what they are.
The origination is in San Archdiocese of San Francisco.
But I know it's going over the Golden Gate Bridge and into Marin and all that.
You have to go over the Golden Gate Bridge.
Well, of course.
Well, and if you go from San Francisco
into— I don't know if they're shutting down the whole thing. They're just going on the walkway.
If you go from San Francisco across the Golden Gate Bridge into Marin County, you can get on 37 and go right to Vallejo.
Right.
But maybe they're going to put it at the
Mission in San Rafael, too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, people who are interested in that, you could go on the San Francisco Archdiocese website and look at that. And I'm looking at my watch, and I have to go to a Zoom call.
Oh, my gosh.
I have to go back to
work.
You
better zoom out of here.
So I guess if you want me to come back, we'll talk about stories more.
Yes, we definitely will have you
we
back.
We only talked about it a couple, and there's really some nice stories in here.
Right after your Zoom call.
Yeah, right. On the, anyway, pastoral ministry to the at St. Anthony.
Right.
How we have a couple of our college students are sharing their devotion of the Eucharist and how that's changed their lives. So we have some nice stories in this issue, which has the theme of the Eucharist in the lives of the faithful.
This is going to provide, this is going to
Oh, and we have a whole story about the Eucharistic Camino that has been taking place for a year through stopping at each of the 12 parishes
right.
in the Sutter Buttes Deanery.
Right.
They've had their own thing going on. So, yeah, I'll come back and talk about the other stories.
Very good.
Great. Okay,
Julie, thanks so much. God
thank
bless you,
you
and
okay.
have a good Zoom.
Thanks.
We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. Businesses in town. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town, and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour. Some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand, for that wonderful introduction and for all that you do and have done for our great Diocese of Sacramento. And I'm sure you're fondly remembered in the Diocese of Salt Lake as well. So thank you very much for that. Well, we got a big event coming up next week, and here to tell us all about it is Miriam San Martino, who is the Director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Sacramento, all 20 counties. Miriam, good day to you.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm fine. Which of the 20 counties are you in now? I'm guessing Solano.
That's right.
I hear the voice of God in the background, the sound of little children. Tell us, what is next week, Laudato Si?
Yeah, so next week, starting on Pentecost Sunday, actually,
right.
the worldwide celebration of Laudato Si Week. And it's just a great opportunity for us to really take time and reflect on just the beauty of creation, but really looking at the spirituality of creation. And that's what we're called to this year.
Yeah, and a lot of events planned, obviously. If you want to see an entire booklet, if you will, on it, I mean, not a daunting booklet or anything, but where it really takes you step by step through it, go to scd.org and look up Laudato Si, and you will find, well, beginning with Ecological Conversion Sunday, also Pentecost.
Yes, and really, it's, I think we don't really do this well, even though we have this beautiful background, right, that we have here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We have so many lakes and mountains and all this diversity of nature, and a lot of times we kind of forget that it's there, right? We're,
yep.
we're so busy in our day-to-day that we don't forget to look out the window. So hopefully we'll be able to actually go out, see nature, and, you know, really be amazed, right, by like the grandeur of mountains. I don't know if anybody's ever done that, but if you sit and you stand there and you look at how big these things are, the mountains, the lakes, the rivers, and you're like, how is this possible? And why is it here for us? And that we're all a part of it, right? And we're all really interconnected in God's creation. And if we truly feel God's love in that reflection, then I think it becomes a moment that you start to think, wow, we could really do a lot more, right, to really save our planet and to improve other people's lives as well.
Yeah, the mountains in this diocese. I mean, it's interesting because just between Sacramento and the coast in Vallejo, you go through some pretty good foothills, and you get a little further north, and they're substantial. And that's not even what people talk about. They talk about the Sierra Nevada. They talk about Mount Lassen, Mount Shasta in this diocese. And it's just, I think one of the most magnificent mountains I've ever seen is Mount Shasta, because it rises up entirely by itself. It is a cascade. It's part of the Cascades, but it's not... It's not like in a chain where they're all connected and it's just a higher peak. It is just a mountain all by itself. I think it's one of the most magnificent mountains in the world. But I'm sure that we'll have argument from other people who have other favorite mountains.
Well, I would love to hear that, right? I would love to hear about people's favorite, you know, escapes in nature here in our diocese.
Yep.
There's so many hidden secrets, right? Like when I drive up to Oroville, I always make sure that I try to get a glimpse of Lake Oroville.
Yep.
Right, because it's just so beautiful, especially when the sun's setting and you're driving back. It's just a relaxing scenery for me, at least.
Yeah, one of the biggest dams in the country, and holds a lot of water and helps a lot of farmers. But there's tremendous recreation on Lake Oroville. But the way it's nestled in there, it's just beautiful. It's, you know, a quote unquote, not a natural lake, a man-made lake, but still. It's enormous beauty in those foothills there around Oroville.
Yeah, and you know, it really goes back to one of the messages that Pope Francis shares in his encyclical Laudato Si, is that as human beings, right, we have this integral ecology, that the way that we are able to really live a plentiful life depends on our surroundings, our ability to be able to walk outside and feel safe and have clean air and have access to clean water. And so many things, right, go to, if we're really looking at integral human development, nature plays a big part of it, right? When we see the changes in the season and it gets very cloudy and gloomy, then we start seeing a lot of higher incidence of sadness, depression,
right.
Isolation, right, because we're not able to go out. And so then when the sun comes out, so spring, it's just it reminds us, right, of our longing to always be outside, to be with others. And it's part of our social nature, right, to be able to connect with others.
Let's start early in this guide here. Pentecost in nature, today, meaning Sunday, the Feast of Pentecost, and we propose that you begin your day with a contemplative prayer in nature, invoking the Holy Spirit to guide you and allow you to perceive the divine presence in every element of creation. You know, sometimes, you know, for me, it's not even a mountain or a lake or a river, but it could be an orchard. You know, some of the orchards in
yes.
Yolo County and Solano County and up in Butte County and on Glenn County, these magnificent trees bearing fruit, bearing nuts, mostly nuts nowadays, a little bit of fruit. They're magnificent in their own ways.
Yeah, and I think it's also, I hope that it reminds folks, one, that scenery is not, it should not be taken for granted, right? The orchards, so many people, their lives depend on yep. on those orchards, on agriculture, and it really depends on how the choices that we make for our lifestyle are going to, in some way, impact right that scenery that we so love as we're driving, you know, up 80 or 99 or all throughout the diocese. And I think that's part of what the guide is telling us too, right? Like, let's evaluate some of these lifestyle choices that we make. And we can make better decisions, right? Sourcing our food, understanding, you know, the importance of water. So it's just a really great time to get to learn more about what's going on in our diocese and also worldwide.
Tell us just a little bit, for those that might be unfamiliar, about Laudato Si and what it means to us, what it means to you personally.
Yeah, so Laudato Si... you know, it's the longest encyclical. It was written by Pope Francis in 2015, and it's an urgent call for not only Catholics, but what he said, you know, people of goodwill, to respond, right, to this cry of the earth, this cry of the poor, because we're not taking into consideration how our economic and lifestyle choices are damaging the biodiversity of the earth. We're marginalizing more and more people worldwide. We're forcing migration. And, you know, we're going against ourselves whenever we don't respect God's design for creation. And so he urges us to retake our responsibility to care for this common home, because this is what we depend on. And so I think for me, it's such an important reminder that every creature, right, tree, insect, bird, human being, has been thought of and willed by God.
Yep.
In his infinite design, right? And we do not have the capacity to understand his complete design, right? But what we're seeing is that the more that we either ignore or disrespect or interfere with his design, that we're harming ourselves in the end. You know, I think about my children. What is the biodiversity that they're going to see when they get older? What is the world going to look like when they get older? Because we are, you know, using all these resources. There's contamination. There's so many families even right now that are exposed to a high level of lead poisoning, right? Because of this horrible air contamination. And so what are we doing for them, right? Is it fair for them to know that that's the fate that they're kind of stuck with? So that's for me some of the questions that the Laudato Si brings up.
Yeah, you know, it's I always think of the environment a little bit. I remember when my kids were little, you know, fill up a jug of water at the kitchen sink or something, or maybe if you're camping or something in a stream, and say, you know, we have a need to drink this water, and we have a right to drink this water, but we also have a need, even for ourselves and for everybody else, to make sure that we replenish this water, that we take care of it, that we make sure it's clean, that we, you know, don't pollute it, don't block it up with a bunch of garbage. And so it's not that you can't use what nature provides, but it's that you should keep replenishing it as you do.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of times either we're not aware, we're not really looking to learn about the actual impacts that are happening, even in our own backyard, right? Even last year, as California was facing or coming out of, you know, one of the worst droughts we've had, right, we started hearing stories from our local farmers, you know, in the Delta, where the water that they depended on was increasing in salt, right, and the level of salt, right, because there was not enough water being replenished into the Delta. So those things we have to take, you know, into consideration and really learn and consider that family's life, right? Because that's what they depend on, and there's not much that they can do, but they're waiting for all of us to really say, hey, this is important. We gotta do something about it.
Yeah, in a lot of the San Joaquin Valley, the people were pumping groundwater to water their orchards because there wasn't enough in the aqueducts, et cetera. And this ground was starting to subside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yes, I mean, if you can imagine, right?
Yeah, it's such a crazy, especially with orchards, which are you know, not annuals, they're biennials. I mean, they last, they're perennials, if you will. And you go, well, gee, I've got to water it even during a dry year because Mother Nature isn't doing it right now. And I'm going to lose all those trees that I've invested in, and they're feeding people and providing labor and providing me a living. And yet you get into these so-called water wars. Sometimes it's over water to water crops. Sometimes it's over how much water do we need to sustain the salmon population, things like that. When we've seen that in part of our diocese as well, especially way up in the north.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I've met with families in the northern part of our diocese, and they tell me the struggle of just getting, you know, drinkable water available to their families because their local well is all, you know, it's dried up.
Right.
So either you come up with the money to buy water, right, and try to restrict usage to only what's necessary. But what if you can't afford that? Then what do you do?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, you know, when you have, when you live in a city and you have municipal water and it's a lot cheaper per CCF, you know, as comparing to having to go to a store or hire a truck to come in to, you know, fill your tank if you're living in a rural area. That gets really expensive for water.
Yeah, you know, and I never knew about, you know, the need to bring in a truck full of water.
Yep.
But I was up in, like, by Rica, Happy Camp area.
Right.
And that's what I saw.
Yeah.
I saw a big truck of water. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I have a sister that lives in a rural area and in Northern California. And their water truck comes every couple of weeks, you know, and it's a big truck. And I said to her, I said, how much does that cost? You know, and it's what it's their tap water, their bath water, their cooking water, everything, you know, and it's like wow, that's really expensive. And they're lucky at least they can afford it. But when people are on the margins, that you know, water is so precious.
It is, and we take it for granted, unfortunately, right? You open your on the faucet, you open it, there it is. For all your household needs. So I think we have to count our blessings in that way too and recognize that not everybody has that same opportunity. And this is really what Laudato Si Week is all about. It's 8 days asking all of us to really consider what are some of the impacts, right, of our choices. And it's asking us, and one of the examples is to have more of a plant-based diet, right? And there's nothing wrong with eating animal, you know, byproducts or meat, but there is a certain awareness that we have that in order to have these meat products, a lot of energy, a lot of things go into it, right? A lot of resources go in for us to be able to have those meat products. And so it's a little bit of a cost-benefit analysis, right, for those that want to think of it that way. What is it costing us in the long run, right, to continue to have such a high demand for meat products? Maybe more of a moderate consumption would be better, right, for the earth. Or health-wise, you know, studies have shown that a plant-based diet will make our digestive system better, you know, the way our body works. So it's just asking us to think about, you know, what can we do to kind of, one, have awareness of the impact that some of, you know, the markets have on the earth and the climate, and then what can we do about it?
We're with Miriam San Martino, who is the director of Catholic Charities here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Miriam, one thing we hear about a lot in, I guess, so-called environmentalism is transportation. You know, the various modes of transportation and how we can do it better. It's a lot easier for some people than others. You know, maybe you're working odd hours and you can't carpool and the buses don't run or the train doesn't take you to, you're working 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. or something and you don't want to walk to work from the train station in the middle of the night. It's harder on some people. Other people are able to carpool or take the train or take the bus, take light rail, things like that. And in some ways, it seems we set up a little bit of class warfare, you know, that if
we do,
if you're driving a car that's getting higher mileage or maybe is electric, oh, you can drive in the HOV, or you got more people in the car in the one lane.
Yeah.
And if you're the poor guy who you got to drive to work alone for 50 miles, and you got to be in the slow lane because you don't have the better car, or you don't have an extra passenger, or as we've seen some people with a big doll that they put in the passenger seat to look like they have an extra.
No, I agree. You know, and part of the, again, right? Yes, we want to respond and be responsible to what's going on around us. We also have to be practical and understand the reality, like just like you described, Bob. We can't encourage electric cars, but at the same time, not make it easier for people to get to work. in a short amount of time, right? Like right. You're sitting in traffic, you're just burning the gas more, right? And contributing to air contamination. So we have to rethink those. How do we really talk about that? How do we structure the way that our transportation system works? You know, a lot of people say, well, you should just take the bus. Well, depending on where you live, buses don't come every 15 minutes. They come every 30 minutes, every hour. You know, and in our summer heat, 100-degree weather, you cannot be waiting for that bus.
You know? I have a friend that commutes from Vacaville to Sacramento. And, you know, she said, I'd love to take the train, but I have to go into the train station, find a place to park, wait for the train. You can't show up at the train 10 seconds before it leaves, or you better not. And then she says it lets me off in Sacramento 3 miles from where I need to be. And by the time I get there, it may have taken me 2 hours to get there, and another mode of transportation that got pretty costly, like an Uber or a cab or something, you know. And then gets off at night and would have to repeat that process, and it just doesn't feel safe doing that, and goes, I don't like burning all that gas, but I don't see how I can get to my job otherwise, like, other than to drive my own car. And is it the person I'm talking about is very environmentally conscious, but is in this kind of position.
Yeah, and then you also think about, you know, if they have a family at home waiting for them, what's the time that they're taking to be,
right,
you know, environmentally responsible, but they're taking it away from being able to spend with their family. So all those things have to come into consideration, and it's really what works best for you, right, in whatever stage of life that you're in, and how you're able to be able to respond. A lot of times we can't do all those things that we're recommended to do, but it's just one step at a time, you know, and we figure out, right, where in our life can we make subtle changes, small changes, and in the long run, hopefully we'll have, you know, a positive impact.
Yeah, and you know, that's right. I mean, do what you can given your circumstances. It doesn't mean you just throw up your hands and say, well, you know, I can't do that. But it's you know, it's difficult, and then it becomes almost a political war sometimes too, because you do have competing economic interests, and it can get sticky.
Yes. So, you know, my recommendation is to really look at, you know, if you're able to download this Laudato Si Week guide, look at what can I do. Maybe this year we'll just pray, right? We'll go out to nature and pray, and that's what we can do. That's where we start.
Yeah. It's a really, really nicely put together booklet. With some,
it is,
some great,
yeah,
positive suggestions, and some great photography too. Oh my goodness, it's really worth looking through. Just to look at the photography, and you know. It doesn't all, obviously, all the photos aren't from the Diocese of Sacramento, but they are pretty astounding when you think of all the things that God has given us here on this earth. Well, Miriam, thanks so much for joining us again. Laudato Si Week is May 19th through the 26th, starting the 19th on Pentecost Sunday. Miriam, thanks for joining us. Take care.
Thanks,
God
Bob.
Bless you and your family, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you.
That's Miriam San Martino, who is the executive director of Catholic Charities for the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. Want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow, says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you have worked at those places, are very familiar with those places, or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary and formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer, Yuba, Sutter, Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after-school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the court-appointed special advocate program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about in this pamphlet a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the Annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The Annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone.
Stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is